بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهديه وسار على سنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا أحبابي في الله، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود ولا النصارى أولياء بعضهم أولياء بعض ومن يتولى منكم فإنه منهم. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, the ayah that I have just recited to you is today becoming a very important statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes concerning our interaction with the wider or global village that we are now said to be part of. When one scans the media today, we are constantly reminded how cheap the Muslim blood has become. The latest casualty of that sale is none other than wounded Chechnya, where we find our brothers, our sisters, and more importantly, the scholars of Islam are being destroyed one by one, being targeted one by one. It's not surprising, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us that we should not take the Yahud and the Nasara as our friends, as our confidants, because they will never be it. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another part of the Quran says, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. He uses the word lan. Now, lan in Arabic basically means never. So Allah Ta'ala does not lie. He says, وَلَن تَرْضَى, that these people will never, ever be satisfied. They will never be content until you, O Muslim, follow their way. And they will do whatever in their power to ensure that their law is established on earth. And we're going to ask ourselves this question: why are we here? We are here to worship Allah Ta'ala, yes. But Allah Ta'ala has given us other responsibilities. We are the viceroys of Allah Ta'ala on this earth. We are here to lead, because we are the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the greatest of leaders. So we who say that we are the followers of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should be leading and not following. Because we got a problem where we should turn to. Al-Quran wa Sunnah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is our dustur, that is our constitution. But what is happening today? The moment the Islamic world has got a problem, who are we running to? We are running to the Americans. We are running to the West and say, to the United Nations and say, see what these people are doing to us. What can you all do about it? Follow our way and we'll solve your problem. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala is telling you, follow my way and I'll solve your problem. Compare now. Who do we take? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, United Nations. I may be making a silly statement here, but we got to think about it, because this is what we are doing. We find that in Chechnya today, which is a very surprising fact that has surfaced, that the Russians who are in the operation theater of Chechnya have been seeking advice from the Israelis. Now you may ask, what has the Russians got to do with the Israelis? Very simple. They went up to Israel and told them, You see how y'all are dominating over the whole Arab world. Show us how we can dominate upon this awakening giant. They're calling the Muslims of Chechnya, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Bukhara as the awakening giant, because you know what's going to happen there. There's going to be a resurgence there. And they are saying, we want to kill this giant. As you kill the Arab giant, we want to see how you can help us kill this giant. So they are getting a lot of help from them. And they're telling them exactly what to do. Be merciless. Remove mercy away from your dictionary, from the minds of your soldiers. Brainwash them that they must be merciless. And that's what the Jews have done in Palestine. So now they are teaching the Russians in the operation theater in Chechnya to do the same, to become merciless. And we are reading the papers. Unfortunately, in South Africa, they're only showing us what is happening on the Russian side. But if you read that, and if it doesn't bring a tear to your eye and a drop of blood in your heart, then we've got a problem with our iman. Then we've got to search deep and say, ask ourselves the question, is our iman yazid, yani is it increasing or is it decreasing? Because if that doesn't bring something, it doesn't affect the heart, then we have become like stone. They are going there mercilessly. Today you may be reading in the newspaper, the Lebanese or the Hezbollah fired one missile against Israel. They got a 12-15 day operation against Lebanon at the moment. 12 days, one missile, 12 days. And that is not far off, because Menachem Begin in the 60s said, you Arabs, you kill one Jew, I'll kill 10 of you. Was a challenge. It was a promise he made, and he's keeping it. And he is dead. But those descendants of Menachem Begin are doing it. One missile, killing two soldiers, and look at how many Lebanese have been killed already. So they now have turned, the Russians have turned towards Israel and say, you can show us what to do with these Muslims, so let's do it to them. And of course, the Israeli is too happy. And then the American will make a big noise. But what are they doing in the quiet? They are paying, because somebody has to finance this war. The money is coming from World Bank and the IMF. Just lately we got some figures by Charles Hayman, who was the Secretary General for the Balkans region of the United States of America. And he says that Russia has already received $100 million from the World Bank, just for this last 6 months campaign. Now you, can you fathom $100 million and convert that to rubles? You may even fill this masjid up, so much of money. To buy what? To pay those Russian soldiers. To buy petrol, because they need to travel from Moscow. To buy arms to kill the Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam. And in July of this year, of last year, 1999, for another 6 months, America from the IMF gave them $640,000. And the Americans are asking you Muslim, or the Muslim world, What are y'all doing for Chechnya? But yet the Muslims are trying to do something for Chechnya. But this is the amount of money that is being pumped. Now these are the figures that we know about. What about those figures we don't know about? Because everybody got a file 13. That file is not being exposed to us. The amounts that are going, as we may know it today in South African terms, hoopla. That money we are not told about. That money that has been pumped in to Chechnya. For what? Why are they after such a small country like Chechnya? Because they know the power of Chechnya. The Americans have studied the power of Chechnya. The Russians have studied the power of Chechnya. Because of the ulama that are there. Maybe a surprise to you. because the amount of ulama that are there. And those people who are sacrificing for this deen of Islam. Some of the Arab countries, yes, some of the Muslim countries, yes, have kept silent about it. But I've been hearing in the media lately here that the Muslim countries are doing simply nothing. No, it's untrue, my brothers. Muslim countries are doing something. Even a country like Egypt is doing something. But more so, a country like Saudi Arabia has been sending even arms now to Chechnya. There has been a lot of money being pumped in. This is the first time in the history of Saudi Arabia that monies are being collected on the streets of Makkah, Medina, Riyadh, Dubai, Hammam, the eastern province, the western province, the northern province, and the southern province, on the streets for the brothers in Chechnya. There is a lot of money that is going in there. And to add to that, 40 ulama of Azhar have passed a fatwa that Chechnya is now a jihad. It was very difficult for Egyptians to pass fatwa before concerning jihad. Any other fatwa they will give you. But first time, 40 ulama of Azhar Sharif has passed a fatwa to say, عَلَيْكَ أَن تُجَاهِدْ بِالنَّفْسِ وَبِالْمَالِ. First time they use such statements. You have to make jihad now in Chechnya with your nafs, with yourself, and your mal, and your wealth. If you can't do it yourself, you do it with your mal. Because as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, مَنْ جَحَّزَ غَازِيًا فَكَأَنَّهُ غَزَى. Whoever prepares a mujahid to go and fight is as if he has went and fight. How much more easy Allah Ta'ala make it for you? And a surprising statement that was made by some individual a few weeks ago when there was a talk on Chechnya is Allah Ta'ala is punishing them, man. When did we come the walis of Allah? When did we come the malaika? When did we come to pass judgment upon somebody's iman? Where the hadith is so clear, my brothers. A sahabi comes up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says, Ya Rasulullah, give this person from the spoils of battle. لِأَنَّهُ مُؤْمِنِ. Because he's a believer. He says, بَلْ مُسْلِمِ. But he's a Muslim. And he repeats it, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replies again, but no Muslim. He says, why? He says, because you don't know what's in his heart. He says, look at us. We are living in such serenity, such amn, such safety, because our iman is strong. I said, brother, if our iman was strong, this ayah will be stuck in our head. وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, if you thank me, I'll give you more. How many of us thank Allah Ta'ala for the safety that He has provided us so far? Think about a few years ago, 8, 9 years ago, we were buying tin food, we were buying guns, we were buying all these things that's stocking up in our houses. Why? We don't know what's going to happen to us. Yasin was being read in every masjid. Quran was being read in every masjid. And the moment Allah Ta'ala gave us that safety, what happened? وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says very clearly, if you thank me, I will give you more. Where is that more? The only thing we want to do is thank Allah Ta'ala. And how do we thank Allah Ta'ala? Al-A'mal as-Salihah. By doing those good deeds. By doing those good deeds with our family, with our brothers in Islam, our workers, and most, as I said, the global village. Thinking on a global scale and acting locally. We find that today we are ready to pass judgment. Tomorrow Allah Ta'ala, la samahallah, la samahallah, may Allah Ta'ala never ever ever happen to us in this country, put us to the same trials that the Palestinians are going through, that the Chechens are going through, that the Tunisians are going through, that the Algerians are going through. Became a mazbah for them, a slaughterhouse for the Muslims there. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. We can't pass judgment on anybody because we don't know that iota, that atom of iman can be a way for Jannah for those people. can be a way of Jannah for those people. And dua is our silah, is our dua, is our weapon at the moment. To pick up our hand after salah and say, Allahumma ansur al-mujahideen fi shishan. Oh Allah, give victory to our brothers, our mujahideen in Shishan. It's a dua. And inshallah, inshallah, before we leave today, maybe one of the salihin that are sitting here, their duas will be answered. Because as one poet very rightfully described the salihin today, we're all living near the sea, so I'll use an example of the sea. He says, As-salihun al-yawm, ka'annahum buq'atun nuraniya fil muhaytat al-mudlima. He says, the salihin of today, they are like boys. You know, you find these boys in the ocean. They're like boys that are bubbling up and down in this ocean, in this dark ocean, where we need to swim towards them. Go and latch on to them, because they are going to save us. Because we find today that we are ready to go look everywhere. But the first place we've got to look is in our heart. Look at ourselves in the mirror and find where we are going wrong. And your brother is your mirror. Your brother in Islam is your mirror. If he corrects you, he will find the fault in you. Like a mirror, never lies. A mirror never lies. If you've got a black spot here, it's not going to hide it. But a camera can hide it. They can do an excellent job nowadays. It's surprising what they can do. But a mirror will never hide that black spot. You tell your brother, you have done wrong. Accept it for what it's worth. But of course, we must remember when we're correcting a brother, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, اُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْوِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. And talk to them in the best of ways. But of course, that is talking to the Ahlul Kitab. When we come to the Muslim brothers, we should talk to them in a way that is more better than that we talk to the Ahlul Kitab. But unfortunately today we find, you know, talking to our Muslim brothers, we talk to them, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَخْشَنَ. And we talk to them in the worst of ways. وَالْعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Let us look at what's happening on the ground in Chechnya, what they were going through in the time of the Russian, before the Russian invasions, when Islam was taken away from them and the Qurans were burnt. One of the ulama were telling a group of ulama that went up a couple of years ago. Quite a few of the ulama went up, and they were saying, this alim was telling, that when I was a young boy, we were so scared at that time of even, because they didn't have any Qur'an, they had it in their heart, to read the Qur'an, that my mother, in the darkest of the night, will come to my bed and whisper the Qur'an in my ear. That's how they learned the Qur'an. And that is why they love the Qur'an so much. Today we have got lovely shelves here. How many of us, when you walk to the masjid, we read 2 rakat salah, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Take a Qur'an, sit down and read every day. Show that reverence to Qur'an, make it alive. They learn Qur'an in that fashion, at night, in the darkest of the night. Can you imagine that muhabbat between that mother and child also? And that child turned out to become an alim. That muhabbat. How many of us make our little children sit down and say, now listen, I'm going to read Quran. Listen to me. And they start loving the Quran. But no, what we want to do? We put a cassette on, old MacDonald had a farm. And our children have become farmers in the deen. Not, if anybody is a farmer, I'm not picking on farmers. They give our food. Of course, Allah Ta'ala gives the sustenance. That's what we want to put on. And the television becomes the babysitter. And they're hearing all these things, but they're not hearing Quran. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تَرْبِيَةُ الْأَوْلَىٰ تَبْدَى مِنْ اَخْتِيَارَ الزَّوْجَىٰ. That the educating of a child starts from the choice of the mother. So when the child is conceived, if the mother is reading Quran, the child comes out with Quran. Because the child can hear. So look at these people. Look at the love for the deen they have got. The love for the deen from that time before the Russian invasion. They love the deen so much. That is why now they are ready to sacrifice for the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And remember, these places like Chechnya, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Bukhara, great ulama like Imam Bukhari, and so many other ulama have come out from. And they were non-Arabs. And look at the caliber of ulama that have come out from there. That is why the Russians said, we want to kill this rising giant. We want to kill this rising giant. Because they know what type of ulama they produced before and what they're capable of doing. My brothers, and my elders in Islam, to round off, we've got to be proud to be Muslims. That's one thing we've got to be proud of. And how many of us thanked Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, Ashkuraka ni'mat Allah, for making me Muslim. And inshallah, make me a believer. We've got to thank Allah Ta'ala for that. We've got to be proud because Allah Ta'ala says, you are the best of nations. Khayra ummah. You are the best of nations. Allah is telling you that. We must be proud to accept it. We are the best of nations. But what makes us the best of nations? That we enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil and believe in Allah. That's what Allah Ta'ala says, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrajat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhawna lil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. Enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil and believing in Allah Ta'ala. That's what makes us the best of nations. And as we know, in order for this to come into our lives, the a'mal have to be saliha. The a'mal have to be saliha. So that increases our iman. Kama anna al-iman yazid wa yanqus. Iman goes up and down according to our a'mal. By ending, I would like to take this opportunity in wishing all those hujjaj ila baytullah al-haram hajjan mabruran wa sa'ya mashkuran wa dhanban maghfura inshaAllah. And do not forget your brothers and your sisters and your children in the lands of Tunisia, Algeria, Palestine, Sudan, Chechnya, and various other countries we are Muslim. At least when you see Kaaba, make dua for them. Make dua for the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you are there. Because you are Mubarak to be going down there to the land of Mecca and the beloved land of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah Ta'ala take you all and bring you all back safely, inshaAllah. And when you meet us, inshaAllah, may we take that light also to increase our iman, inshaAllah. And we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He gives victory to all the mujahideen all over the world. And inshaAllah, He takes us to the land of Makkah and Medina, inshaAllah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.